Third week of our home remodel series, and we're looking at the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. If you want to go ahead and turn there, you can. I want to look at these Beatitudes so they can change the attitudes in our home. Is that good? I'm sure that's not original with me. But last week, we looked at blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Next week, we're going to look at blessed are those who are peacemakers. How many want to bring your children next week? Yeah, should. Today, though, I want to talk about blessed are the pure in heart. To our home and our family, we need to apply these things as we remodel our homes. But before I get to the scripture this morning, let me ask you an odd question, maybe for a Sunday morning, but this is it. I'm curious. Who's ever been robbed here before? Your home has been robbed. Anybody? Look around. Put all his hands. Wow. It's really kind of more than I would have thought. Tammy and I were robbed just a couple years after we got married. Someone robbed our home. Here's how the story goes. We came home right after Sunday morning. I walk up to the door that we would normally enter, and it was opened. And okay, well, we forgot to close the door, right? It just didn't go tight. But there was something a little odd about it. So sure enough, I walk into the house, and I hear noises in the back of the house. So I begin to hurry to the back of the house, and as I get back there, there's someone going out the window out of our bedroom, and so I run back around, and I'm chasing them through woods. We have woods behind our house. As I'm chasing them, though, you need to know that week I just had surgery. I lost the joint of my pinky here and had to have surgery, and it's fused. It's short. Oh, well. Oh, it's life. And it's all bandaged up, and I'm running going, what am I going to do if I catch them? And it was kind of interesting. They got away, never found out who it was, but that's just the way life is sometimes. But it's a weird feeling to be invaded. And you know, if your home has been walked into by someone who was uninvited, it is awkward. And all of a sudden, you get this instinct that you have to do something to protect your home. Change the locks, do this, do that. It's something to protect. Men, most of us feel like we need to protect. We need to protect our homes, protect our wives, protect our children. That's the way we live. And women, you're like a mama bear when it comes to protecting your children. It's just the way it is, right? What's interesting, though, in our culture today, to me, is this, that we are applauded for protecting our kids physically. I mean, you put headgear on them and elbow pads just to send them out to get the mail. You might need to do that. Why? Because we want to keep them safe. That's what we're after. Yet in our culture, when we try to protect our kids' hearts and their morals, more than often, you're called an overprotective parent. Applauded for protecting them physically, but people make fun of you when you try to protect them morally. Interesting. Today, I want you to see that God has called us to protect not just the physical nature of our children in our home, but to protect the purity of our hearts in our homes. Amen? Just so as I was robbed physically, I believe there is a spiritual enemy who wants to rob our families of our purity. He wants to break in, kill, steal, and destroy all the innocence, all the trust. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life. Jesus gave us a very specific beatitude in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. It's going to be our key verse for today. And here's what Jesus said in that verse, Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Would you read that with me? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they all right. I see you out there shivering. We are on a boiler system in this part of the building, and it was hot, and we never know. It takes 2 days for us to flip it, so the day we flip it, we'll be on heat. So today I'm going to have you engage and get a part and celebrate. So when I get involved, you get involved. How's that? You move your fingers, your toes today, your arms. There you go. And you'll be fine. So here we go. Let's try it again. Let's use our voices. Get your body ready. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed. Yeah. Heavenly Father, today as we engage into your word, I pray your word would engage into our lives. Lord, have your way in your church. Spirit, come and speak and let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, hey, we're going to engage you. Blessed are the pure in heart. Now, the word heart in this passage in the Greek language is the word cardia, which we get our word cardioid or cardiac from. Now, in this passage, though, I believe Jesus was using a metaphor here. He wasn't saying, blessed are those who have pure organs that pump blood through your veins. That's not what he's talking about. It's a metaphor. It's powerful here, though. Jesus is using this word to describe the emotions and the feelings that we have on the inside. And by the way, those feelings do affect everything that happens on the outside. Now, let me say this off the bat, that Jesus in his teaching is teaching in a much broader sense than I will be doing today. And when he says, blessed are the pure in heart, he's talking about our attitudes, our motives, and our thoughts toward others in every area of our lives. But for my purpose today, I want to narrow the scope down just to our family and our homes. I want you to say this verse again with me, Matthew 5:8. Read it again. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they... Now, in our world, it's very common for us to believe and say to so many people, and you've heard this statement, oh, she's got a good heart. You ever heard that? Oh, he's got a good heart. I've even heard to young people, these are single girls that go out on a date with a guy who's not a Christian. And I've heard people say, oh, I know he's not a Christian, but he's got a good heart. I know he's unemployed. He lives in his van and lives down by the river. I know he smokes weed for dinner, but he's got a good heart. You ever heard something like that? Honestly, though, church, the reality is something together all the different. The common saying, oh, they've got a good heart, is simply not true of any of us. You need to understand that without Christ, there is no such thing as a pure heart. In fact, Jeremiah 17:9-10 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. The heart is what in this passage? It is. All right. How cool. I guess you warmed up, so you're all good, you know? What does it say, church? The heart is?
Deceitful.
Above all things and beyond cure. The heart will lie to you. It will deceive you. And Jeremiah asked this question, who can understand it? The New Living Translation puts it this way. I like it. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. In Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul says something that's really profound to the believers in Ephesians. In Ephesus, and it's to those who were drifting from their faith. And this is what he says in Ephesians 4:18. He says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. He says, they're darkened in their understanding. Everybody say, darkened. They're darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance. Ignorance is just not knowing better. The ignorance is into them, but due to what? The hardening of their hearts. They don't even realize it because their hearts have drifted. Their hearts have grown hard to the things that matter most. How many of you ever walked into a movie theater and it was really dark? You know what I'm talking about? You walk in, it's like, oh man, hit by darkness. You can't see, right? Are all of you really good? Like, we don't go to the movie theater. That's not something we do. If I do, I'm not going to confess it live here in the sanctuary. Now, you know what I'm talking about, right? But what happens after you've been in there for just a moment or two? Your eyes begin to adjust. And all of a sudden you can see a little better, and you get accustomed to the darkness. Now, I don't talk much about this, but when I was in the military and I was in the Air Force, I was an SP, that stands for Security Police. I look at me today, I'm like, really? But you put a weapon in my hand and I have some authority. In our training maneuvers, though, we also had to train at night. And during the night training, one of the things we were told is never stare at anything too long. Keep moving your eyes around, otherwise it burns out the rods in your eyes. The rods differentiate between light and dark. But as we trained in the dark, we quickly learned that we could operate in the dark. In fact, we would move our entire camp in a convoy in the dark during the night. And the more time, though, we would spend in the dark, the better we were at maneuvering in it. But church, this is a problem when it comes to us spiritually. The spiritual problem in our world today is that a majority of our homes in America and around this world are separated from the life of God because they've been darkened in their understanding. They don't even recognize that they're missing out on the goodness of God. And mostly it's because they've allowed so much impurity into their family. They walk in darkness and they've grown accustomed to it and don't even know it. It's amazing. In the dark, maybe you can grow a little accustomed, but I can guarantee you, you cannot see very far. And that's what the world says. Well, I'll worry about that. Church, we've been called into the light. Now listen as Paul, though, continues in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 4. This is what has happened. Having lost all sensitivity, say that with me. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. This verse kind of nails it. It's a description of our culture today. Having lost all sensitivity, our TV ratings have lost all sensitivity. Our culture is giving itself over to all sorts of sensuality and indulging in every kind of impurity. And if you don't see it, you're darkened in your understanding. Now, all of us love our families, don't we? We want to protect them, right? We want to guard our marriages. We want to do everything to protect and to teach this next generation that's coming. We want to teach them about godly things. Amen? And we would never do anything, right? Never do anything to harm them, right? We wouldn't harm a little baby, would we, by putting poison in a baby bottle and say, hey, drink this. We wouldn't tell our teenagers, hey, there's a pool of acid out there. Go take a swim. We would never do that. It's so extreme. It's like, it's so wrong. Church, I wonder how darkened we've gotten. Yet so many families will send their 15-year-old girl out on some car date with a hairy-legged male that they've never, ever met. They'll give their 14-year-old boy an unlimited access to the internet on a mobile device where he can get anything and everything that we would never, ever want them to see. And the world calls that absolutely normal. Even worse, can you believe this? That people actually take their hard-earned money and pay to be entertained by things that would break the heart of God. And then justify it by saying, it's okay, it's just part of our culture. Church, it's not part of our culture. Our culture is a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the new has come. Now, if I've stepped on your toes this morning, you need to know I don't apologize. I meant to. Church, if we do not wake up to the darkness and the impurity that is around us and step into the light, we are going to end up deceived. We've been called out of darkness. Make that, yeah, set apart. I need you to say that. I've been called out of darkness. Say that. What you going to do with it? The call is one thing. The step is another. Church, could it be that one of the reasons our homes are broken and in need of repair and remodel is because our hearts have been deceived? Somehow our hearts have gotten darkened in our understanding. Somehow, without even knowing it, we've lost all sensitivity. And now we've involved ourselves in all kinds of improper and impure things. Church, we have to decide what is going to be different about our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. I want to help you with that. If you missed last week, I want to give you a key thought that you're going to hear for the next couple weeks. Let me revisit it today. There has to be a shift in our thinking. And here it is. Say it with me. We are not just a Christian family. Say that. We are not a Christian. What are we? We are a Christ-centered home. Church, there's a big difference between saying Jesus is part of my life and Jesus is my life. If we're to remodel our homes after the Word of God, then we need to live according to the Word of God. And that's exactly what the psalmist refers to in Psalm 119, verse 9 and 10. Here's what he says. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. If you've got kids, or maybe you are a young person today, that's a great question to ask yourself. How in the world, with all the temptation in this world, how am I going to stay on the path of purity? How am I going to keep my kids on the path of purity? Well, let me tell you what the culture around you will tell you. Hey, just follow your heart. You got a good heart. Just follow your heart. That's the worst advice anyone could ever give you. Don't follow your heart. Your heart is deceitful. It lies to you. I've watched too many married couples follow their hearts right out of marriage into adultery. Oh, tuck your toes. Church, where are we going to wake up? I have made a choice. My wife is my wife. And I know some of you say, well, I've messed up and I should have known better. I was in sin when all that and I didn't know Christ. Listen, there is forgiveness. Let me lay that foundation. There is forgiveness. There is grace. But I'm telling you, today and this day forward, you are to make a choice of purity in your life. I chose her. I will go after her. Church, that's my choice. And I'm going to stay with it. Coming up on 25 years. Let's make it 50, 75. I'll be really old, sweetie. And nobody else will want me, so. Our hearts get deceived and we begin to say things like, she's hot. Sounds weird coming out of my mouth. He's so sweet. And our minds and our emotions begin to get deceived and we move away from purity. You can't follow your heart, but you can live according to God's word. Verse 10 says, I seek you with all my heart. I seek you. I seek you. I seek you with all. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Church, we've got to apply this to our lives. If we translated it for our families, it might go something like this. How can your family stay pure or stay on the path of purity? Here's the answer. Not by following your hearts, but by living according to your word. We will seek you with all our hearts. God, do not let us stray from your commands. What a prayer. Now, those who aren't married, and you may not have a family right now, and you're kind of kicking back and saying, yeah, you let those married people have it. Because it doesn't matter to me. I don't have a family yet. And even some of you may say, I can do whatever I want. I can sleep with who I want. I can drink what I want. I can smoke what I want. I can watch what I want. I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. Why? Because what you do today matters tomorrow. You don't build a life of righteousness on a foundation of sin. Say that. You don't build. If you want a harvest of righteousness in your life and in your family later, then you plant seeds of righteousness today. You put them in the ground today. How can a young person stay pure? By living according to the word. Church, all the church, we have got to go against the flow of the culture today. We are not just a Christian family. We are a Christ-centered home. And we're desiring to truly raise up a generation that puts Christ first and honors him in every single way in all of our lives. How can we practically create a culture of purity in our homes? Let me give you three today, three ways. Before I give those, let me share something with you. Purity will not happen by accident. Everything else happens by accident. Purity doesn't happen that way. You don't get married, raise kids, 20 years later, go, wow, my goodness. Look at there. Look how holy and pure everybody is. It doesn't happen that way, church. You have to be intentional about being pure. In fact, you're not just hearers of the word, you are. Three thoughts. Number one, get your own heart right. Get your own heart right. We got to start right there. I don't care if you're 8 or 88. You will set the tone of where you're going to live. Solomon writes this in Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Above everything. Church, we've got to put a protection around our hearts. We have to question, what will we allow in our families? What will we allow to influence us? What kind of things are we going to feed our minds? I know everyone else says, go with your heart. You tell them, I'm guarding my heart. Church, I'm shielding my heart. Why? Because it can be so easily deceived. You need to start by getting your heart right first. Number two is you need to parent the heart. So what do you mean? When you're working with your kids and your family, you need to parent the heart. Unfortunately, many times we parent the action. Now listen carefully. In other words, we want the behavior to change. And we forget to focus on the heart. It's important to parent the heart. In Scripture, in the Old Testament, when Samuel was about to anoint David to be king, and he's going through the process, 1 Samuel 16:7, God comes to him and says, the Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Our heart is so important, and it has to be parented by the Word of God. If you have a couple of kids, and they're at least, I'm going to say, 7 years of age and older, anybody in that category, you're there? I can guarantee this has probably happened in your home. One of the kids said or did something that was mean to the other kid. I can guarantee that happened. It probably happened in your life. But here's what we do as parents. We tell them, you need to go and apologize. And your kid says, fine. They walk over to the other kid and say, you know what? I'm sorry you got your feelings hurt. I'm sorry you're a big crybaby. You know what happens. You know what I'm talking about. But parents, let me ask something. Did they do what you asked? Yes, they did. But was their heart right? See, we parent the action instead of parenting the heart. It's not the actions, it's the heart. We have to parent the heart. We have to teach the heart. And the heart learns from the Word of God. Right actions will come out of a right heart. We have to parent toward purity. Get our own heart right, parent the heart, teach the heart. And number three, pursue perfect purity. Pursue perfect purity. Chose the word pursue. Something we've got to go after. We cannot achieve it on our own, though, church. We need the help of the Holy Spirit and the power of God in our lives. But we can pursue perfect purity. Now, some of you are already thinking, perfect purity? I mean, that's raising the standard a little too high. Not at all, church. Because anything less than perfect purity is not purity. Tuck your toes. I'm forewarned you. Here we go. Ephesians 5:3. Paul writes this by the leadership of the Holy Spirit for the church. Verse 3, but among you there must not be, say these next three words with me, even a hint. Say it again. Not even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Not even a little bitty itsy-witsy inclination or indication or insinuation or allusion or implication or inference or supposition. Not even a hint of impurity. Church, we should be pursuing perfect purity and doing it in our homes. I guess the question, though, is, how much impurity do you want to let into your home? How many of you remember the story about the brownies? Remember the story? Just a little poop in the brownies. You won't see it. You might not even taste it, but it's there. This is my story. This is my home. This is my rules. So I'm not forcing this on anybody. Understand? In my home, my girls and my boys, and when it comes to dating and relationships, when it comes to this girlfriend, boyfriend stuff, I don't allow it. Now, I have to be honest with you. They have broken the rules. I'm not going to tell you which ones. I've told them, I do not want you to have a boyfriend. I do not want you to have a girlfriend. I don't want that to be a part of your life. I don't want you to give your heart away in a relationship while you're in high school. If it's meant to be, it will happen after high school anyway. Now see, all of a sudden I'm getting an amen from somebody out there. And that's good if this is a rule for your home, but I am not placing rules in your home. I'm telling you where I'm at. In my home, I'm not shooting for technical purity, technical virginity. I'm trying to guard them from getting into compromising situations. I'm trying to help them to keep their heart from being broken over and over and again. It's my greatest desire that they could just give their heart away once. Here's the issue, though, church, we deal with. If you aim low, you will shoot low. If you aim high, you will shoot high because you aim higher than the target. What's the target in your home? I know I'm not perfect, and don't ever think that I am. Do not put me as the white knight on the stallion. It's not who I am. And I know my family's not perfect, but we're pursuing purity day after day. We're aiming high, church. I'm aiming high. Church, there are things I wish I could go back and redo in my life. There's a few heart moments that I wish I had another chance at, but I don't. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But there's no reason I can't pursue perfect purity today and tomorrow and the next day. My question is this: what's our standard going to be? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I have a standard. Matthew 5:8 tells me that blessed. The word beatitude means blessedness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Church, I want to see God all over my life. I want to see God all over my children. They're not perfect, but we're aiming high. And listen, we'll walk in purity, and we walk it by the power of God. God will start to change your heart, and you'll stop desiring what you used to desire, and you'll begin to desire what matters. Blessed are the pure in heart. Read that last part. Why? What happens? They will see God. Imagine if you could see God answer prayers in your home. What if you could see God use your life to touch others? What if you could see God make a difference through you? What if you could see God use your spiritual gifts? What if you could see and sense the presence of God in your life on a daily basis? What if you could see His power at work in your home? What if you could see His goodness follow you all the days of your life? Jesus says, those of a pure heart will see God. Yes, eternally. But I believe we can see Him at work in our home every day. We can see God at work in our personal lives if we'll have a Christ-centered home. When you're pure in heart, you will see the power of God in a way that you could never imagine. Because I believe purity and power walk hand in hand. Some of you say, well, that's great for you and your little family. But I've messed up so much. My heart's so messed up. I've done so many things wrong, and I'm not even very close to purity. Listen carefully. That's why we do not lean to our own understanding, but we lean upon the Word of God. Listen carefully. Ezekiel writes in 36:26, God says, and I'll give you a new heart. And I'll put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Church, God wants to put a new heart in us. He wants to put a new spirit in each of us. And it happens when we put our faith in Jesus as our Savior, when we surrender our lives to Him, and all of a sudden our hearts will grow to become more and more responsive to His Word. But we start with surrender. Matthew 5:8, blessed, blessed. How many want to be blessed? Blessed, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Maybe you're in this place and you're saying, man, my heart's so messed up. Why don't you respond today? And He'll give you a new heart. He'll put a new spirit in you today. If you just respond and surrender, quit trying to do it your way, and quit believing the lie that you have a good heart. You do not. Your heart's deceptive. And this morning, balcony, main floor, all you got to do is just say, I surrender. And I'm going to ask you to lift your hands and say, here I am. My life's been messed up and wrecked by sin. But I want you to know Jesus paid all for you on the cross, and He died for your sin so you could have this new heart and this new life if you'll receive it. So if that's you today, would you just lift your hand, balcony, main floor? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is the way it works, church. We start with surrender. We start by giving our hearts and say, God, take this old nasty heart, put a new heart there. That's what he wants to do in your life. And these have lifted your hand, and I'm going to ask all of us, you know what? It would be good for all of us to rededicate and resurrender our hearts and lives today. Because I know that junk has come in. I know that deception has tried to take over your home. But church, it's time to get the new heart. It's time to settle the issue and say, I'm going to live by the word. So all of us, let's pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me and make me clean. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I put my faith in you, and I believe your word to be absolutely true, that you love me, and you are for me, and you have forgiven me. And I ask you today, give me a new heart. Put your spirit within me, and let my heart be responsive to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.